Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's talking season in college football, which means we are inching closer and closer to the season in the NFL. We are officially 8 weeks out, 8 weeks from today. We will have the season opener in 2024 on Thursday Night Football. I can just smell the grass already. I am geared up for football season. I know it's going to be here before we know it. Welcome in, everybody. Hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with it. You laugh, Michael, but you can feel it too. We're getting there. We're getting ready.
Oh, yeah. I want you in the month of July. For me, it's like there's a part of, and even though I'm not in the NFL, there's your body clock is telling you get back into the NFL, and it's time. The vacation's over with. You need to get going, and it's time to start working on the teams, which is this week has been kind of a busy week for me, but I definitely have been spending more time on these teams working through it. So, yeah, there's kind of like the birds that flock away. You know, there's a time where you head south. There's a time where you head north. Now is the time to get ready for football.
Yeah, and we thought in these few early weeks in July that maybe it would be a little bit slower from a news standpoint because we've got a little bit before training camps and guys are actually back on the field, getting pads on, hanging out with each other. But between Hard Knocks, we've got the new series on Netflix with wide receiver. And then we find out in the news today that the Titans made a signing. They're bringing over former Seattle Seahawks safety Jamal Adams. But you always say we shouldn't even call him a safety.
No, he's a linebacker. I mean, he has to play linebacker. He's unfortunately the league. If he played in the mid-80s, he would have been a Pro Bowl player. There's no question. He's tough. He's physical. He's Joey Browner. But the game has changed. And if you want to, you know, because of the 11 personnel, because of everybody, you know, one of the things that we when I talk to people in the league, and I always say this, like, it's no longer down and distance. It's no longer first, second, or third down. It's what formation is on the field. That determines the ability of the player to play. You know, if you're Chris Spielman in his heyday at Ohio State, you know, and you're coming out in the draft, well, today you would probably be a 12 personnel. You would probably not play against 11 personnel. Probably wouldn't play against 12 personnel. You know, there's formations that you're not going to be on the field. And that's what's happened to Jamal Adams. Like at 11 personnel, he's going to have to play in the box at linebacker. Can he hold up in the run game? And that's an issue. Can he hold up against powerful people? That's an issue. You know, what he got away with was the ability to attack the pocket, work, you know, utilize his size against little running backs trying to block him. But once teams said, no, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to put a big guy on him. Then he lost his effectiveness.
Yeah, he had 9.5 sacks in 2020, that first season with Seattle. But to your point about can he hold up, I think from an injury standpoint, that's important to think about, too, because he's missed so much time over the last 2 years, just 10 games played, dealt with a knee, dealt with that quad injury. So it'll be interesting to see if he can make an impact in Tennessee. Obviously, this is a team that is rebuilding, has a new head coach, and is trying to figure a lot of things out. Also, last night, so in addition to a little NFL news, last night we saw Team USA basketball in action for the first time in an exhibition against Canada. They won the game, but there were a lot of fans that were upset about how they won the game. They were very slow starting. But I think it's good to have a little bit of perspective, and LeBron said it himself after the game. We've only had 4 days together. It's going to come.
Yeah, just relax, everybody. I mean, it takes time. We just don't dominate. You know, what you want to do is peak at the right time. You don't want to peak too early. You don't want to peak at the wrong time. And I think ultimately, you know, they've had four practices. I think the coaches are going to learn who they best situated with. I think with the addition of Derek White, who they brought on and upset Jaylen Brown to no end, is another indication of how this all fits together as a team. So we just have to be patient. Look, we have the best players in the world. There's no question about that. I don't know what Dylan Brooks was talking about. You know, that guy, to me, he needs glasses. I don't know what game he watches half the time. So, I just be patient. We'll be fine. I mean, they'll figure this out, and we'll see who gets the minutes and who doesn't.
Well, and you referenced there, Michael, the biggest story about Team USA in the last 24 hours might not even be on the court, but off it. Derek White replaces Kawhi Leonard on the roster as Leonard continues to nurse that right knee injury that he aggravated during the NBA playoffs. And so it's White that steps in and not Jaylen Brown, who is probably, like, people think of him as kind of a Kawhi Leonard 2.0 because of what he can do on both ends of the floor. He just won Finals MVP, Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and he has three of his Celtics teammates that are on this team, and he's not one of them. He took to social media right away, three emojis, monocle faces saying, "What the heck is going on?" Basically, tweets at Nike, "This is what we're doing." Obviously, he is not rep by Nike. Derek White is. We're just going to throw that out there. But you said earlier, and I think you framed it nicely, though. You said, like, so much about Team USA isn't necessarily about talent. It's about fit.
Right. And look, it is about the shoes, too. Let's face it. Nike's taking a beating here. They need all the help they can get right now, right? I think, to me, you know, and so if they're going to want one of their guys. They don't want somebody coming in to wear an Adidas or a New Balance or some other shoes. So, you know, look, this is the shoe game has been part of basketball, right? It has been part of the world we live in. It is everything. It's why kids go. I mean, one of the three, you know, Oregon's Nike, University of Washington's Adidas, right? Texas Tech just left Under Armour to go to Adidas. It matters to some kids. It matters. And, you know, Nike's popularity, their stock price has gone way down. I don't know if their popularity's gone down.
Michael, also in the basketball world, I don't know if you saw, but Bronny James did get back on the court. The load management was over. He played against Miami in Summer League.
He needs that. You know, Stormy, at 18 years old, you have to have load management. I mean, I don't think it's impossible. You can't go out there night after night at 18. Come on, Stormy, stop.
I love getting you riled up. So from a shooting perspective, wasn't great. He had 3 points, 1 of 3 from the floor. Did miss a free throw
seven
shot.
7 points total
again.
In his career. 7 points total
but,
in his career in Summer League.
But
yeah.
I want to give him a little bit of credit, Michael. He had 5 rebounds,
please
3 assists, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. Second on the team with a +8 rating. Can we give him a little credit? A little bit? A little bit?
I am not anti Bronny. I wish the kid nothing but the best. What I'm anti is creating a story out of nothing. Mm. And this kid doesn't deserve the attention that he's getting. Yes, he's the son of LeBron. But Michael Jordan's son didn't get this attention, you know? He went and played college. He didn't play at a major level. But still, like, for me, this is unfair and to the kid. It puts more expectations on him. It's a little bit my feeling last year with Big Danny O at the Worldwide Leader trying to say, well, you know, Justin Fields is going to be the MVP. Why are you putting that kind of pressure on that kid? That kid doesn't need that. It's all he could do to learn how to play quarterback. And you start mounting a campaign on putting MVP things on the kid, it hurts the kid more than helps him. Yeah, I know you're a Justin Fields fan, but don't put that pressure on him to say something ridiculous. You don't go from being a bad player to the MVP. So it's the same thing with Bronny. He could barely play. He wasn't all conference in high school. He didn't play much for USC. I understand he's coming off the heart condition and all that, but like, can we just temper it down a little bit? Why is Bronny the story and J.J. Redick not coaching in the goddamn Summer League the story? That should be the story.
That was a unique choice, I will say. And I know we broke that down the other day, that you have guys like Steve Kerr, Jason Kidd, all of which thought it was important as former players to go out there and get that experience in Summer League. J.J. Redick elects not to. But for Bronny James, yeah, he's a number 55 pick that's going to be critiqued like he's a lottery pick because of the opportunity that he has. He also signed a contract that no other number 55 pick is going to be able to sign. And it's a cool story with him and LeBron, but at the end of the day, to your point, he's not Ken Griffey Jr., right? Like, this isn't the same situation of him playing with his dad. This is a guy who is probably going to play in the G League, probably going to get on the court with his dad a couple times, and it'll be awesome. Speaking of, you know, father, son working together, Deion Sanders, Big 12 Media Days, he made his way out. Shador was on the podium as well. Star quarterback for Colorado, expected to be a high draft pick coming up in this next season. And protecting Shador is going to be a priority for CU in year two under Deion Sanders of the 133 teams in FBS. All of the things that had to do with getting sacked and protection, they're ranking 130, 131, 132. It was not good for them. And Deion took to the podium and said that he is going to be judged more critically, not only for the play on the field, but in the classroom and a lot of other elements as well. Take a listen.
I'm judged on a different scale. My wins are totally different than your wins. Your wins, you just judging football. That's why I have to start out and give you education and academics and so forth. I have to give you those things so you understand there's a greater scope. I can't win 9 games and our GPA suffers. Our GPA can't be high, but we lose another 8 games. We can't not go and grab high school players, and you got a bunch of guys in the portal, out of the portal, that's getting incarcerated. My wins are different. We have to win in every area. That's the way we're judged, and I'm cool with that.
And yes, he does bring a lot of that on himself, but good points made. And mm-hmm. and like we always say, Michael, pressure is a privilege, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on Deion. Mm.
No question. But look, if you want to graduate a lot of kids, you can't take a lot of transfers, because sometimes those transfer credits don't come in. And so you have a little bit of a problem. I mean, he's reshaped the roster. I mean, this wasn't the rhetoric that he used last year in terms of having to get better players. Look, I'm rooting for Deion. I really am. I hope he can kind of get this thing, because Colorado, there's nothing prettier than Boulder, Colorado in October. In that scenery there, I think it's a tremendous venue. I think the school's incredible. Boulder's an exceptional town to spend time in. So I hope they can, you know, they can get this program turned around, because it is – at one time, it was a great – when they were in the Big 8 with Nebraska and Oklahoma, they were right there with Bill McCartney.
Well, and what you said too, Michael, about the 42 transfers that they have coming in this season, I listened to a full, like, half-hour-long interview that he did with Joel Klatt this offseason, and he talked so much about how what he really takes the most pride in is the development of the player and the person and the man. And it's like, but you only see him for a year, maybe not, and they leave. How much development are we really able to do in that time? That was at least just my thinking. But like you said, we wish nothing but the best. It's good for the sport of college football when CU is good, and hopefully that status remains. Win total sitting at 6 for the CU Buffs, juiced to the over. We'll be right back. No Way, No Doubt coming up.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL preseason will be here before you know it, and lucky for you, our VSiN experts have been hard at work all offseason putting together our new VSiN NFL betting guide. This thing has comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win using betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures, props, awards markets, and so much more. But in order to get the guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and right now, when you use our code for this show, Lombardi, we're offering you a special deal. Instead of the usual $240 price, you can get VSiN Pro right now for just $199, and when you use that code, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN has to offer. In addition to the guides, we've got the daily betting splits, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and so much more. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this offer. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe, and use that promo code Lombardi to cash in.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Let's do it. What's Michael on board with, and what are we saying? No way, not going to happen. Starting with college football, because conference realignment is insane this year. We're seeing 15 teams on the move over the last 2 years, 33 teams in new places. All of the Big Four power conferences seeing turnover this season. So no way or no doubt, Michael, at least 2 teams will win their new conference in year 1 in 2024. What do you think?
I think there's no doubt they will. I mean, I'm going to say Utah is going to win their new.
Okay, that's one.
And there's a good chance. There's one. There's a good chance Oregon could win their new one, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Big Ten. I know Ohio State's the prohibitive favorite there, but I think in the Big 12. And then, you know, I'm not even counting, you know, some of the teams in the All-American Conference there. So the ACC, I don't think Cal is going to be able to come in there and win that.
But you give Texas a shot in the SEC, maybe?
Give Texas a shot in the Southeast Conference. Yeah, so I'm going to go too. Why not?
Okay.
Why not, Stormy?
I'm all for it. I know that you have loved all the Team USA basketball talk today. This roster has been very hyped, and for good reason, with all of the talent on it. Producer Elliot Bowman was out at the exhibition yesterday saying it's pretty dang cool to see Steph Curry and LeBron James throwing it to each other on the court at the same time. No way or no doubt, Michael, this is the best Team USA roster since the 92 Dream Team.
Well, that's always hard for me because, I mean, you put Bird, Magic, Jordan on a team. How do you compete with that, right? I mean, who in their prime. Think about that. Bird, Magic, Jordan in their prime. No, I don't think anything's going to be able to. This is a good team, but, you know, you had Barkley on some of those teams, too. I think that we were talking about the 92 team. Nothing's going to be like that. Now, I know that's since then, but no, you're not getting me there. I'll say no way.
It's definitely a tough comparison. Legendary names, and obviously the game is different now from what it was at that time. But, yeah, I feel you there. Let's stick with this theme, though, because obviously big news in the last 24 hours. Derek White makes the roster. Jaylen Brown does not. No way or no doubt, Brown deserves to be on the Team USA roster for what he has shown on the court.
Well, I think if you trust, the team, if you trust the people making the calls, if you trust, Steve Kerr as the coach and all those things, then I think he did make the right call. Look, it's not about the most talented players. It's about what fits in the team. So I'll trust the judgment of the people that are experts in basketball.
We've talked a lot about the Giants' offseason hard knocks this week, and the way that everything has been handled with Saquon Barkley at running back and him ultimately leaving the team. No way or no doubt, the Giants should have matched the Eagles' offer for Saquon.
They should have given it to him beforehand. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the difference between 2023 and 24. We were talking about $2.5 million, a cap that went up over $35 million above what they expected. I mean, find the money somewhere. You know, look in the cushions in the couch. You know, get Daniel Jones to give you some extra money. I mean, like, people think that's a ridiculous statement. No, it's not. You've never done a contract before. You know, you start that conversation as soon as he got the ACL surgery. Look, we're going to need to figure out a way to where we can help you and you can help us. If you're going to come back as a starting quarterback, we need to do something here. I promise you, any team that would have taken over the Giants, any general manager would have walked in there and said, okay, what's the issue? The main thing in any business is to keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. And the main thing was to get that contract under control. Instead, they're just acting like, oh, well, we can't pay him $40 million to hand it off. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
And you can tell that ownership, John Mara walking in the room, was not pleased with letting Saquon Barkley walk. But that relationship has soured. And as we said yesterday, playing that phone call between Saquon and Joe Shane, you can tell in his voice there's no love lost in that relationship. One might say in New York, they made a giant mistake. Okay, moving on. There are a handful of deals still to be done,
well done
in terms of quarterback contracts. We have Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love. No way or no doubt we'll see at least one new quarterback deal prior to training camp, so in the next couple weeks.
No doubt we will. I think they're working diligently on it. I think, look, clearly Tua's not getting the guarantees that he's looking for. Again, he made the comment, the market is the market. But I do think that whether Love gets it, I think Stafford could get it. I think Stafford, they know they've got to deal with Stafford. They know this. And I truly believe they will deal with it, and I think they'll get something done.
Leonard Fournette's agent had Adam Schefter post on social media earlier this week that Fournette is in shape and wants to be in training camp. Also, we saw the signing this morning of Jamal Adams to the Titans, which leads us to an interesting conversation. No way or no doubt, I mean, maybe not with Jamal Adams based on your comments earlier, but no way or no doubt, there are still difference-making players available in free agency.
No way, there's not. I mean, there's role players that could make a difference and help your team, but difference-making, no. Now, I say that last year, Javion Clowney's off the street, 19, and Van Noy was on the McAfee show, and they both ended up making a difference to what they did. But it was scheme as much as anything. Look, Fournette, you would say, why doesn't he go play in Dallas? Well, they already have that kind of back in Zeke Elliott, right? They don't need a plotter. They need a loose play. Maybe it's Deuce Vaughn. But I think, to me, it's all about fit. Look, I think if he's in shape and he comes in and demonstrates that his weight's down and he's in good shape, then he'll have a chance to come back. Everybody's looking for that one guy. problem is with veterans, Stormy, is if they make the team, you got to guarantee their salary for the whole season.
We're not too far off from the playoff Lenny days, but I know at the running back position, it's always tough. Out here in Vegas, star running back Devontae Adams was asked about the quarterback position and said while he doesn't have a preference between Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, he said he thinks it's Aiden's job right now. He's doing what he's got to do to hold on to it. No way or no doubt, Aiden O'Connell gives the Raiders a better chance to win than Gardner Minshew.
I think Aiden O'Connell is going to win it. I don't know if he gives him a better chance. I would say yes, but no way. I'm not sure either of them give him a better chance. But what's interesting, that I'm glad you brought this up today. So they asked Aaron Rodgers, the general manager of the Jets, if he misses Devontae Adams. Now, here's another contract that has to get rectified here. Devontae Adams is quietly, that wasn't part of the offseason program, only went to minicamp because he had to and didn't do much, right? There is going to have to be some kind of way to where they get his contract under order. And we heard Rodgers say today, coming off a golf course, that he would love to be able to throw the ball to Devontae Adams again. It's worth noting.
Worth noting. That's something we might have to dive in a little deeper when you're back on the show on Sunday. I got one more here for you. Former Carolina Panthers star Luke Kuechly on Up and Adams this week was asked if he would take peak Cam Newton or peak Lamar Jackson as his QB if given the choice. Take a listen.
You got to see Cam's MVP season firsthand. Would you take peak Lamar or peak Cam?
I'm partial to Cam, and I'll say this. I think that playing against Cam Newton would be so difficult because of how physical he was. Mm. He's big, he's physical. Lamar is a pain to tackle. He's a pain to get your hands on. He's a pain to keep in the pocket. But you can get on him, you can get him on the ground. With Cam, he's running through you.
No way or no doubt, Cam Newton, a more dominant runner than Lamar.
No doubt, big man. I mean, big wins all the time. Big wins all the time. They both have their limitations in terms of throwing, but big wins all the time. I agree with Luke on that completely.
Quentin Nelson said of Anthony Richardson recently on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, he's an absolute freak. He's weighing in after practice at like 250 pounds. He's ginormous. No way or no doubt, I'm throwing in an extra one, that Richardson should be next in line as the top dual threat guy in the league. What do you think?
I think he's got a lot of Cam Newton in him, but I think he throws the ball better than Cam. I think he throws it better than Cam, and he's got the same size as Cam. He's got Josh Allen-like skill set. Now, can he throw the ball as well as Josh developed himself to it? I don't know, but when I first watched Richardson, I thought he would be the first pick in the draft. I thought it was risky to take him based off his level, but I understand why they did it.
Now, can he stay on the field? Because Cam played physical, but he was durable until later on, at least. Richardson only 4 games into his rookie season. We'll be right back. Mike Palm joining us coming up for the last half hour.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all of our betting tools and content that are also available at VSiN.com. Each and every day, best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts and experts, updated betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by states, betting tools, betting guides, and so much more. Our NFL betting guide, by the way, out now. Everything you need to bet this upcoming season. Head to VSiN.com. Today, your one-stop shop for all things sports betting content. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in for the final half hour of the show like we do each and every Thursday. Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. Busy morning, afternoon, early already for you, Mike, but welcome in.
Yeah, well, we have Mountain West football media days here, as you well know, Stormy. And so making the rounds, I was on the network, Mountain West Network yesterday, and then doing the different cities associated with the different schools here. Fun as well. Lots of new faces. I think only 3 returning starting quarterbacks and 7 new coaches. So a lot of turnover. And you're the one that first pointed this out to me last week in the qualm segment on Friday about Boise. They're 4-1 here is all to make the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but look, you got a good point. And I don't think Liberty's the shortest shot at like plus 260 or 270. I don't think the undefeated season gets them there after their poor bowl performance.
And they have the easiest schedule in all of college football again.
There's nothing they can circle and say, look what we did here. I think Memphis is actually a bigger threat from the group of five. But anyhow, that could be exciting, especially if Boise's got a legitimate shot to be in the playoffs. That'll put some eyes on that Mountain West championship game.
You know, Mike, I think these teams, that the new teams that have entered, and the Mountain West, I think to me, like UNLV's surprising year last year. Now they lost a lot of players, but there's always going to be some surprise team in there. And I think you're right about Memphis. I think Memphis has kind of done a great job of recruiting. Hell, they just got one of their first five-star players ever for the 25 season. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a program on the uprise.
You know, Bill Cramsey, who's one of our vice presidents of directors of operation, and he oversees the host department, longtime MGM Bellagio employee. His brother is the offensive coordinator at Memphis, and he won that award last year, Michael, best assistant coach in college football. So we follow that team with special interest as well.
Yeah, the thing for them too is they're going to have an easier schedule with the updated version of the American Conference as well, so maybe an easier road. But what I was saying too earlier about Boise specifically is maybe having the more difficult schedule if they're able to get through it, especially because they do get two of those Pac-2 teams both at home in Washington State and Oregon State. The toughest game on their schedule by far is going to be Oregon, but aside from that game, they're favored in every other game, and it's on paper maybe a little bit more difficult, so we'll see.
No Fresno, no Colorado State in the regular season. They might meet one of those two teams in the conference championship game. A little bit of a tricky spot here on a Friday night in Las Vegas, mid-October. But yeah, I mean, they can go and be very credible. People think Oregon will be a playoff team, right? They'll give probably the best team to give Ohio State a run in the Big Ten. They go to Outson and lose by two touchdowns. That's very respectable. And it's week two, as you pointed out. So the voters not have a long memory, even if it's a really bad game. You're going to go back and say, well, that was the team then, this is the team now. Which the committee has put a big emphasis on, right? An undefeated Florida State got left out because they said your team as it's constructed now is not one of the best four.
Mike, what do you think of, I mean, obviously everybody thinks Ohio State, but what would you say could be the biggest challenge to Ohio State in the Big Ten? Or the whatever we want to call it, the Big 15 or whatever the hell it is, I have no idea.
Yeah, look, I think it's Oregon because Michigan lost everything, right? And I think they've got the right coach, but that's going to take a while there. Of the existing teams, maybe it's Penn State, not the teams coming in from the West. But I think I rank Oregon a clear number two in the Big Ten right now. I think these teams in different conferences are very interesting. I really believe Utah is the best team in the Big 12, and that they'll win that. And people laugh at me when I say Texas has a shot to win the SEC. I mean, everybody I talk to says, don't keep saying that on air. You sound like an idiot. There's no way they can come in and win.
They're the second shortest shot.
There's no way they're going to come in there. That's a joke that they could compete with Georgia and Alabama. And all. And I get so much guff every time I talk about Texas. But that prop of will more than 1.5 new teams in a conference win their conferences. If you think Utah's going to win, you got a shot with Oregon, right, to win the Big Ten. And I think you have a legitimate shot with Texas.
And to your point about the Big Ten and Penn State, one question that I had was, okay, Drew Aller back at quarterback, is he going to be any better? Because I had very high hopes for him coming into last season, turned into the dink and duck master. He's like the Derek Carr version of college football right now, but they bring in Andy Kotelnicki, who was the offensive coordinator at Kansas the last few years, and maybe if he can get the most out of him, if they can be more competitive on what their, you know, 2-3 game schedule is in the Big Ten. But anything else, like Big 12 Media Days were obviously here in Las Vegas as well. Anything else in the Big 12 outside of Utah being the favorite that stands out to you?
No, not really. Did you see all the mascots took the picture in front? They were on Fremont. We tried to get them in for a shot in the book, but they were so busy. But they did take a shot in front of the front doors. It was a great picture. Yeah. It was a really great picture. So Big 12 is interesting. You get the new teams in there. I keep waiting for Kleeman to do big things at Kansas State, right? And they're always like knocking on the door. But that consistency to run through that whole schedule. I think it's a very balanced league, though. I think, like, in the middle of this conference, it's very – I mean, even from TCU all the way, you know, to the top, I think there's a very solid and deep – probably the deepest conference when you're saying you're going to have teams that are be bowl eligible. I mean, they're really, you really got 8 or 9 that are going to come out of here.
No question. I mean, look, Arizona's a good team. They were last year. They beat Oklahoma in a bowl game. They say UCF, if Central Florida is going to be really good. I don't think people realize how well-funded Central Florida is because of how big their student population is in terms of the money they can generate. And then, you know, I think when you look at it, TCU was in the conference. It was playing for a championship 2 years ago, and Sonny Dykes does a good job there. So I think Texas Tech's a sleeper here. I really do. I think Joey McGuire's done a good job of recruiting. I think it's a hard place to play in Lubbock. I think they could be a sleeper in the Big 12.
I think Iowa State will be better, too.
Yeah.
You know, they went from being one of the most inexperienced teams last year that lost the most to being one of the most experienced teams in college football. So I'm no big Matt Campbell fan, but I think Iowa State will be much improved as well.
And to go back to what you said about Kansas State, too, I do think it is good to note that just the year before last, they did win the conference at as a 14-1 long shot. People didn't expect them to do that. And they're very high on their young quarterback, Avery Johnson. We had spot duty last year, but got his first start in the Pop-Tart Bowl and lit it up. And a lot of people are really excited about what potentially he could bring. Preseason win total for Kansas State sitting 9.5. You are getting plus money on the over. I wanted to turn to a little bit of NFL talk here because I'm so disappointed. I didn't get to see No Hyperbole this morning as I was driving in, like I usually try to listen to, but I heard you had a take on Dak Prescott, and I'm very curious what that is.
Well, I mean, when people say things that are so on the surface implausible, as if they're going to wear a walk-in boot precautionary because they're going to go deep sea diving and my ankle's going to swell, the ankle that I hurt that cost me a whole season 4 years ago. Why, you know, either that's true and you're an idiot to go deep sea diving again, or there's some fire to this smoke, right? It's one of those two things. Now, maybe it's nothing. But why would you be so nonsensical as to risk your whole career to go? You have enough money, you can go do whatever hobby you want to do, right? You can go anywhere you want to go do whatever hobby. Why would you ever put yourself in physical jeopardy to do that?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Mike. And it's in your contract. If you get hurt outside of the building, you know, that's a non-football related injury. And that's what's interesting about this is, did this injury or did this happen thing, whatever it is, did it occur before he left or while he was at practice? Because we didn't hear about him missing any practice time. But I do think this, if he shows up at the first practice and he's on the field without a boot, I think then it is a story about nothing. However, if he's got a little limp to him and he's got the arthritis in there, he's got to be really careful.
You know, I want to get your take on this real quick, Michael, but I think the NFC East is the one division that I can bet the superfecta, to put it in Mike Somich terms, that I am very confident that the exact order of finish in that division is going to be Philadelphia, Dallas, Washington, New York. I think there's almost equal gaps between the teams, and I would say I would be less surprised if Washington finished second and Dallas third than I would be if New York finished third and Washington fourth. Your thoughts?
I agree completely. I think everything we've seen on Hard Knocks tells me the Giants have a tough road ahead. And if you talk to anybody in and around their team, they know it. I mean, they know it. It's not going to be an easy road. I know they talk positively. Oh, Brian Burns is a difference maker. We'll find out. I think Washington's added a lot of pieces. I don't know how it's all going to come together. Jaden Daniels, if he doesn't stay healthy and gets hurt early and they go to Mariota, they could finish fourth easily because they'll have no quarterback. But I do think Dallas is really looking up at Philly. I think Philly is the best team. I think Philly offers competition to San Francisco for the right to play for the NFC. I think they're one of those good teams along with Detroit.
Michael, we went on vacation last week up to Utah camping. One day we went up to Bryce Canyon, and we were standing there taking pictures, you know, and my wife's trying to take a picture of me and the three kids. So this couple comes up and volunteers, you know, to take the family picture, and then my wife took a picture. But the guy had a New York Giants hat on. So when we were posing, I said to the kid, say Daniel Jones, and he said, no, don't.
On that note, we'll be back. Palms Pressing 3 coming up as we wrap up this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to VSiN. Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide's jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter this season, with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, win total projections for each, new quarterback and new head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus, of course, future bets and all of the awards markets. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets ahead of the season. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get your copy today. That's VSIN.com/guide. And now it's time for the moment you have all been waiting for. Palms pressing three.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, Michael, number one, the VSiN NFL guide, which you and Stormy promote so beautifully, projects the NFC South as a two-horse race between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Michael, are three-time defending division champs. They eliminated the reigning NFC champ, Philadelphia Eagles, in a wild card round game and have every right to win their divisional game at Ford Field. Are the VSiN experts correct in dismissing the Culver House clan?
I'm not sure we are. I think, to me, Atlanta's overvalued. I've been saying that all offseason. Because here, let's put things in really good perspective. They were the third best team last year, the Atlanta Falcons, in third down defense. They were the fourth best team in red zone defense. Now, can Raheem Morris correct those things and make them better? I find that hard to believe, particularly since they've added no players on defense. And Grady Jarrett's coming off an ACL. So I don't know where they get their improvement from. Everybody thinks, well, Arthur Smith was a horrible offensive coordinator. Okay, maybe he was. They have no speed on offense. Their longest pass play was 75 yards, Tyson Algier screen pass. 71-yard screen pass, Robinson. 60-yard screen pass to Jonnu Smith. They can't make a play down the field. They have no team speed offensively. Is Cousins going to improve that? I find that hard to believe. Look, New Orleans is not getting any love because we all don't trust Ricky Fowler, Carr. I mean, we don't trust him because we know if it's pressure's on, he won't play good, but when it's off, he's great. So New Orleans goes into Tampa last year and just butt whips them in week 17. They get no love. Tampa goes and beats Philly, has Detroit down to the wire, camp almost beats them. I just think, to me, no one wants to give Todd Bowles credit. Here's the other factor about Tampa that's fascinating. For 2 years in a row, with Tom Brady and without Tom Brady, they have finished 32nd in the National Football League in yards rushing per attempt and yards gained rushing. They've been a one-dimensional offense. And if they can change that, they'll be a tough team.
All right, you led into my second question. So let's stay in the NFC South. I want to talk about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, and try to, for you to get inside of Kirk Cousins' head. Minnesota either offered him 1 or 2 years. It depends on conflicting reports, and if it was two, how much was guaranteed? We really don't know. Obviously, the Falcons offered him more, 4 years, and more money. He also knew if he stayed in Minnesota, they were drafting a quarterback for their succession plan to him. Well, a funny thing happens on the way to the Forum. He takes the deal in Atlanta, and they draft Michael Penix. Knowing what he knows now, that he could have stayed in Minnesota with all those weapons for another year or two and perhaps gotten an even larger contract somewhere else, how much do you think Cousins regrets coming to Atlanta, and will that affect his performance this year?
I think anytime you've been lied to or not told the truth, you always regret where you go, right? I mean, one thing about the National Football League and running a business, it doesn't take much to be honest. Just be upfront about it. Just straight out say it. You know, talk about it. And I think he wasn't in tune to the fact that they were even thinking about drafting Penix. I mean, why would you be? Is there ever been a team that spends $100 million on a quarterback and then drafts one the very next day? Of course not. Money usually dictates what you do. So he was completely caught off guard. Now he's got this guy looking over his shoulder. And, you know, if the offense doesn't go well, we know there's going to be people wanting to play C. Penix because, well, who's the most important guy on every team to the fans? The backup quarterback. So you've just created a situation. Meanwhile, you've done nothing to help a defense. See, Atlanta thinks they're really good. Atlanta thinks they're a chance. They think everything that was wrong with their team was Arthur Smith's fault. And I would say to you, Mike, that I think Arthur Smith did a good job. He was a really good offensive coordinator. I think Ryan Nelson did a good job defensively. Like, I don't, no matter how good Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson become next year, I don't think they can duplicate what Arthur Smith and Ryan Nelson did. I don't see how they win eight games.
And then Jimmy Lake is the defensive coordinator, too. I mean, how much do we really trust this Terry Fontenot-led brain trust in Atlanta? It's a big question.
Super Bowl-winning GM Terry Fontenot.
Excuse me, Michael. My apologies. I do understand why they're the favorite in the division, but odds on is a bit of a runaway. We've called this a dartboard-type division. It feels like it could really go any which way in the top three at times.
Let me follow up, Michael, with Atlanta, with you, because obviously you're very close with Bill and worked with him. You know, they weren't the only team that didn't choose Bill to coach them next year. There were, what, six openings in the league this year?
Yep.
Are they the team, though, that deserves the most blame for not? Or do all teams deserve an equal share of passing on Bill?
Well, it's ridiculous that all teams did pass on Bill. Situations obviously dictated. But I think what irritates me more about Atlanta is the ridiculous statement that the Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot leaked to the media about how they had three better options as a head coach than Belichick. I mean, to me, don't insult my intelligence. Now, look, the only reason Belichick got involved with Atlanta was because he was assured by people in Atlanta that Rich McKay wasn't going to be involved in the business. And what happened from the minute he went to Arthur Blank's yacht in the Bahamas was Rich McKay orchestrated this whole Raheem Morris, because from day one, Rich McKay wanted Raheem Morris to be his head coach. That's fact. And so they lied about what their real interests were. What they basically did was they said, hey, Arthur, you humor yourself with this Belichick guy. We'll work behind the scenes to make sure that he doesn't get in here, because we know you don't want to make any changes. And that's what they did.
All right, question three. The Houston Texans played all their games but one in the 1 p.m. Eastern time block last year. Now they go from being the hunters to the hunted, with primetime games, heightened expectations, and increased scrutiny. How does an organization adjust to those changing conditions?
I think it's hard, Mike. It's a challenge. It's like any business, to go from good to great, right? You know, right there, they're an incomplete pass away from not making the playoffs to completing the Colts not completing it, and they do. And look, they deserve a ton of credit. They improved the quarterback, but they are now going to be on everybody's radar. No one's going to take them lightly going into the season. See, I think we as fans, one of the things that makes the NFL so exciting and so fun to watch is the games are so close week in and week out. And part of the reason they're so close is because there is kind of an eccentric way to where, oh, we're playing Atlanta this week. They're not very good. It won't be that hard of a game. And all of a sudden it becomes a hard game, right? But when you play good on good, it's not. And I think what Houston has to do is raise their level of play. This is a team that lost to the Carolina Panthers off of a bye week. The Panthers came in off of a bye week. They lost to them. So there's a thin line here that you've got to be able to maintain. And they did a great job in the kicking game. I think that's one of the untold stories about this Houston Texans team. They were very good in the kicking game. They made plays in that area. And I think that really helped their team. But they will be the hunted one. They will face a higher level of performance from their opponents than they've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And especially, too, this young quarterback who had such a successful rookie season. Now there's a full year of tape on him. They do have a first-place schedule in this spot. It's going to be more difficult. But maybe you can do what the Detroit Lions did last year, for example. They entered this past season with different level of expectations. They built on it and ultimately made an NFC championship run. They're in a similar position, though, of taking that another step from good to great and seeing if they can go on and make a Super Bowl run. But I see it that way.
I think Detroit's a little different in that you have a veteran quarterback in Goff, who's a really steady guy. You have a lot of players, former players, as coaches. I think they were in a better spot to kind of handle this, being thrust into the spotlight. And now in a really tough spot, having had a 17-point second-half lead in the NFC Championship game and not been able to close the deal. Campbell said it right after the game. It's going to be really hard to get back to that spot again.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. And I think he knows that what got us to the championship game, we have to improve and increase. Now, give Detroit credit. Unlike Atlanta, who basically brings the same team back as a year before, Detroit went out and spent money and got pieces to help their defense to go along with what they did last year. So you could sit there and say, okay, they've improved their roster. Atlanta, all you're saying is we lost because Desmond Ridder stunk, right? Although even though we put out a press release saying we didn't want Lamar Jackson, don't forget that. I mean, this is a ridiculous. I mean, they just keep, every time you turn around, they just look stupider and stupider.
Just dig a bigger hole. With the Lions thing, I was more so thinking like organizational failure in terms of not winning the division, not having done anything. It was a very different level of the way people were thinking about Detroit last year. That's a wrap for us. Huge thank you to Mike Palm, Mike Somich for joining us as well. For Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Sharp Money coming up next on VSiN. Pablo Torre finds out on DraftKings Network.